Fred Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from Ostrava Camera Oco, and this is the 7th edition of the festival. I'm very pleased to be joined by cinematographer Philip Ugard.
That's right.
Thank you. Who is here, actually. There's a few films in the program that you have worked on, and they are When Bubbles Burst, North, Zero Kelvin, and my personal favorite, The Four Kitchen Stories. But thank you very much for joining us, first of all.
Yeah, but it's quite sort of different films. You should look at Zero Kelvin, because that's it's a very good film, and yeah. It's shot all the way on the North Pole, more or less. We lived on the ship there for 7 weeks. That's a very interesting film to look at, because it has something to do with Northern Light, and it has something to do with what should I say? It's about three men. This is sort of a history which is dates back to 1870, 1880, and they are up there catching seals, and well, that's what they live on. And there's one guy coming over there who is just a young writer who wants to sort of experience things like that, and he gets together with those two people, and it's a very, very strong movie, you should say.
Yeah. But they're all great films. What do you feel like when you watch something that you've worked on, you might have worked on years before?
Well, definitely I'm developing that I'm changing a little bit, in the sense that I work with so many different directors, young, old, and things like that, and they bring me in different fields and new things, which I think is very interesting, because I have quite a lot of experience. I could easily sit down and do the same thing all the time, and happily I've been in that situation that people, new people, young people, have sort of pressed me to go in different ways. And it's funny to see what I did 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and see, and I can say, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that and that and that? And also, of course, there are some good films that I'm quite happy about, which it's nice to see again, and to see, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So it's, but most of the time when you see a film you have done many years ago, you say, oh, I would like to do it differently today, but
it is.
But some of them you're showing here are, I'm quite happy about.
Right. Yeah. Everyone has their beginnings, but I wanted to know what got you interested in wanting to become a cinematographer.
It has something to do with my mother, because she was a painter. She's French, and my father is half French and half Norwegian, and that's the reason I ended up in Norway, because of that. But she was very interested into films, and she translated quite many French films when I was a kid, from a company in Norway, from French films, imported French films, and I was together with her in small cinemas and looked at French film when I was a young kid. So I was quite much interested into film, and I have a joke that I say, when I was a kid, I saw Brigitte Bardot naked and made a very big impression on me.
Yeah.
Well, that's a joke. But my mother was very interested into film, and that gave me also this interesting thing.
So let's go into the beginnings of when you actually started working on film. How did that come about? When did you get your opportunity?
No, well, I when I finished high school, I started university, and then I was fed up after 3-4 months. I said, I don't want to do this. I want to go to a film school, and I found one in London, and I went to a film school in the beginning of the 70s. And I stayed after that for 3 years. I worked on film school, and I stayed another 2 years to work, which was very difficult to get into the unions and to get work and jobs. But the best thing in the 70s at film school, we didn't have any money. We didn't have video and things like that. We went to cinemas, and I think I saw a couple of thousand films during those years. And I also say, when I sort of teaching sometimes at film schools, it's most important things to do is to watch films. And they make fantastic films all over the world in different countries. And of course, my background is European film, much more than American films. It's quite funny today, when I go to film school, most of the young people have very little knowledge about European film, and they know very much about American films. And I think that's a little pity. They should see a little bit more of European films.
Yeah.
But I think that was the most important thing when I went to film school, to see all these films from all over the world, together with people that were interested in film. I think that was my film school.
Because you touched like the film school subject, I was just kind of wondering. This is a topic that kind of I'm pretty passionate about, much like cinema in general, really. The cinematic culture is not really treated as an art in education, in the sense that it's kind of harder to find out about the cinematic language and visual language. Mm-hmm. So do you find that to be true? Like, should, because really when you think about it, it's a language that's much like poetry. So should we, this thing about like nowadays it's really hard to promote cinema, is it because there's no promotion of this type of culture and visual language?
It's a combination of different things, because most young people has sort of been living up with visual things, television, internet or whatever it is, but film is a very expensive art form, and that's it's getting easier, because now we have different sort of new cameras and different things that you can do it in a cheaper way. But in feature film, it's very expensive to find money to make films, and it's getting more and more commercialized in that sense, and they are really struggling nowadays, because you have internet. People don't go so much to the cinema. You have it in your own living room and things like that. So that's it's a time where everything changes. Actually, now we don't know where the cinema is going. You know what's going to happening with everything that you can get on the internet. You can get all new films that haven't actually been shown in cinemas and things like that, and it's completely out of control in that sense. And so that means it's very difficult to keep this as an art form, because it has been very commercialized during the last 10 years, whatever you like. And that's a problem, and I think people should be aware of, if they are something that tells you very much about our time, because it's cinema.
Yeah.
And it's a very important, I think, an art form that should be kept.
It's protected, I guess. Yeah. And one of the things that I love about this program is that it's paying tribute to kind of Nordic light, it's called. So it's Scandinavian type of cinematography. It's amazing, because I just watched a film that was made in Turkey that actually says we're using Scandinavian type of cinematography. And you being one of the kind of one of today's biggest name in this sort of regional type of, I'm saying that, but regional type of cinematography. What do you think? Where do you think this all came from? This particular look, and this, the way in which the films just obviously spoke so universally.
Well, because we live in a country up in north where we are sort of quite sort of surrounded by nature. There are so many different fantastic places in north, not only in Norway, of course, more in Norway than in Sweden and Finland, and Denmark is more to Europe. So it's sort of affects us in the sense that the weather changes all the time. It's completely impossible to keep continuity when you're filming, but still it gives us a fantastic light from God. It's funny, I made a film many years ago called Aberdeen, this main character is a drunkard, played by Stellan Skarsgård, and her daughter, his daughter, is actually played by Lena Headey, and she's coming up the middle of the in the mountains in Norway, and they are traveling from Bergen to Oslo, and she's taking some cocaine, and she looks around and says, one problem here in this country is too much fucking nature. And remember that line, because that's very true about Norway. You can go to different places, it changes, and the light changes very much. From in the middle, you have the big fjords when light doesn't come in. In the northern Norway, you have this fantastic scenery with that has incredible light. So you are affected by that, so you know how to work it, yeah. In the sense that we have, for example, if you go and see Zero Kelvin, when we started the film, we had 24 hours of light. When we ended up shooting, we had 4 hours of light. Mm-hmm. So it changes like that. And of course, it affects you in the sense that it has very much to do with how you live and how you sort of react around. So
connect with your surroundings in a particular way.
Definitely.
Fantastic. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Things are very intense. You got a very intense schedule, but it was still a pleasure talking with you. Well, it really was. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.